You are listening to The Angles, a podcast channel where we discover the perspective changes in geopolitics and international security. Welcome to another episode of The Angles. I'm sure that you currently have a lot of plans for yourself this summer. I hope that you are enjoying yourself so far, but at the same time, it is also important to be aware of the things happening around us. I'm your host, Hannah, and in today's episode, we are going to explore the dynamics of conflict in Sudan and what it's going to look like in the future. Okay, let's start with the basics. The Republic of Sudan is a country located in northeastern Africa, and it has a population of around 48 million people as of 2022, being the third largest country in Africa. Although being endowed with rich and abundant natural resources, Sudan is one of the poorest countries of the world due to a long history of political tensions and instability. The current ongoing crisis in Sudan basically stems from corruption and the power struggle between the top two military men of the country. Khartoum, the capital of Sudan, is currently a war zone. Ever since it gained independence from Anglo-Egyptian rule in 1956, it has witnessed at least six attempts of coups, meaning the government has been overthrown at least six times by different leaders and military groups. Ever since 1989, under the rule of Omar Bashir, who was driven by his extremist Islamic inclinations, the people of Sudan suffered great violence, lack of basic necessities, and lack of representation in the government. Especially in Darfur, the western part of the country, where people lived in awful conditions and were completely neglected, so they decided to rebel. To crush this rebellion, Omar Bashir relied on a group called the RSF, or Rapid Support Force, to wipe out the civilians by destroying their villages and killing the people. In 2011, South Sudan successfully gained independence after its people voted overwhelmingly to secede from Sudan, becoming the world's youngest nation. However, this also means that Omar Bashir is in a weak position because most of the nation's natural resources was located in the south, which is now no longer under his control. He proceeds to spend around 70% of the nation's budget on the security sector, while Sudanese people struggle for basic necessities. This led to one of the biggest revolutions in Sudan's history, where people demand democracy and a lot of protests broke down in the country. On April 2019, the country's official military, the Sudanese Armed Force, or SAF, by Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, along with Rapid Support Force, or RSF, led by Hemeti, which fought the war in Darfur we mentioned earlier, came together to remove Omar Bashir from power. You guys should remember these two guys, Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and Hemeti, because they are very important in this story. So, together, the two leaders of the two groups, SAF and RSF, gained control of Sudan and promised the Sudanese people democracy for the country. However, the people did not trust them because obviously they used to work for Omar Bashir. As a result, as people kept protesting in the capital city, they were constantly being killed and harassed by the RSF. This situation has forced other countries, such as the United States, the United Kingdom, Saudi Arabia, and the African Union to step in and help Sudan to a democratic path. So, in 2019, a transitional council was established in order to share the power between the two leaders and the civilians. In this agreement, the leaders would have the control for 21 months and then the civilians for 18 months. However, the most important problem here is, while protests were still happening, the two Sudanese generals, Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and Hemeti, had major disagreements with each other. On December 5th of 2020, Burhan, Hemeti, and the protesters signed a new agreement promising the new civilian-led transitional government by April 2023. However, a big disagreement arose between these two individuals. It revolved around the condition that Hemeti's RSF group would need to integrate into Burhan's army, meaning Hemeti's power is now limited. This eventually escalated into the ongoing conflict between them. Burhan controls the country's official military army, while Hemeti's RSF group is a very big and extremely powerful militia group. Hemeti himself is a very important man as he controls a large chunk of the economy, especially the gold trade. They have placed tens of thousands of armed soldiers all around the nations, and many of the casualties are caused by the two armies' air force and ground troops. Warehouses are looted, hospitals are attacked, and medical centers are closed. Hundreds of civilians have been killed, nearly 2 million people have fled their homes, and hundreds of thousands has escaped to neighboring countries. US and Saudi Arabia attempts of peace talk has so far failed. The Sudanese conflict has drew international attention, with many claiming to support the hope for democracy, but in fact, some countries are just trying to compete for influence in Sudan, to gain access to its natural resources, and use the country as a strategic location for their own military bases. So, what are these countries doing? As for Russia, both Sudanese leaders have visited Moscow and engaged in deals with Russian officials. Russia's involvement in the conflict is seen as a way to exert influence and protect its interests in the region. The United States have been engaged in diplomatic efforts to support a peaceful resolution. Meanwhile, Gulf states like Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates have shown interest in Sudan due to its strategic location and economic potential. They have provided financial aid and investment in Sudan, but maintain a neutral position in the conflict. The people of Sudan, therefore, are left feeling betrayed more than ever. And that brings us to the end of this episode, where we explore the dynamics of conflict in Sudan and the international involvement in the war. We encourage you to stay informed about the situation in Sudan and engage with organizations working to support peace, human rights, and humanitarian efforts in the country. You can donate to help children and refugees in Sudan through websites such as the International Committee of the Red Cross or SaveTheChildren.org. We hope this episode has provided you with a deeper understanding of this topic. I'm your host, Hannah, and thank you for listening. This is The Angles, and we dive deep into stories that matter, one episode at a time.